You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, yes, indeed. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We're about to go to the phones with a special guest, but I have to real quickly point out some really sad breaking news. Story published in the last 20 minutes. Fox has got the story up that in Uvalde, Texas, there's been an active shooter at a Texas elementary school, and they have captured the active shooter. But there are a number of kids in the hospital right now. I have one text that said that one child has been killed, but the suspect has been caught by police after barricading himself in the school. I don't know the extent of it. I don't know any more than that. All I know is at this point there are several children in the hospital, maybe one fatality, and the active shooter has been caught. We'll keep our eyes on that one and prayers for the people in Uvalde, Texas. Well, let me go to the phone right now with someone who I've known for many years, proud to call him friend. He's our Lieutenant Governor, Will Ainsworth. Will served in the Alabama State House for a term before running for Lieutenant Governor when the seat was vacated by Kay Ivey as she moved over to the governor's office. And he's got a small business. He's a realtor, a developer. He's also got a place called Dream Ranch, which has been amazing. I've been out there several times up in the Gunnersville area, a family man, and Lieutenant Governor's on the line right now. Governor, how you doing today?
I'm doing fine. That's sad news about the kids in Texas. Definitely thoughts and prayers go to them. That breaks my heart.
Yeah, I don't get it. And your children are still small. I mean, can you imagine getting a call that the elementary school has an active shooter? I just cannot even imagine being in that position as a parent.
I mean, that's I think from a parent's standpoint, it's your biggest nightmare. That's a scary deal. Still a lot of evil in the world, and you know, just thoughts and prayers go out to those people. That's a bad deal for sure. I didn't know about that.
Well, and this is a total aside. We're not. I know you're not here to talk about this, but it may have been. Listen, remind me, what year did you get elected to the House? Was it? Were you there in 2014 or 2014?
Okay. 2014.
Yeah. I think just before you got there, we had done some things in relation to the Sandy Hook shooting, and we had put some plans in place that require that the actual schematics of the schools be on record with law enforcement in the local area so they can quickly assess, you know, the layout of the school for responses and all that kind of stuff. So it's been something to watch that kind of thing have to become the norm, but there it is.
Yeah, no, and I actually had a bill, you remember when you were in the Senate, that we got out of committee in the House and weren't able to get on the floor that dealt with from a, you know, shooting, I believe that might have been in Florida at the time, is what in response to, but allowing teachers, you know, to be armed in the school so that way they could defend themselves instead of having a free zone. But certainly I think, you know, the best way to defend yourself against a shooter coming in is with a good guy that's a shooter. And that was our whole premise on the bill that I drafted and tried to push through. And that would have been back in probably 2018.
Yeah, I think you're right. I believe that's correct. And I supported that move. Well, hey, listen, Governor, I'm going to make a wild prediction. I'm going to go ahead and just take a stab at this. I'm going to go ahead and predict that you are going to win your election tonight, just so you know.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed. I didn't know I wasn't going to be on the ballot. And so went in, and I guess because I didn't have an opponent, I automatically get the nomination. But I didn't know that. I thought I was going to be on the ballot. You know, Kendall and I went, and the boys were with my dad at the farm, and then Addie went with us, and then I wasn't even on there. So, but it's kind of a totally different thing from, you know, 2018. Obviously, was in a contested, you know, lieutenant governor's primary, and was kind of an underdog there. And, you know, so today to not have a race is really weird. And so, but, you know, certainly, you know, went and voted early this morning. And kind of disappointed at the turnout. The turnout's really bad in North Alabama. And there's a lot. I mean, I think as of, you know, an hour ago, we had 13% turnout in Marshall County.
Wow. Well, let's hope there's a lot of after-work voters, because I went to the polls this morning, too, and I was shocked that I didn't have to stand in line that long. In 2020, I went to the polls. Charlene and I did at the same time. We got there at like 7:15 in the morning. It opened at 7, and dang, if we didn't have to stand in line for like 45 minutes to be able to vote.
Yeah, that's
maybe partly because
of
COVID protocols.
Same thing
we
experienced. I walked right in this morning. In the past, I've always had to wait, and we didn't have to this morning. We voted Gunnersville.
Well, I cannot imagine, though, I cannot imagine there being so light of a turnout. I mean, this is, I think turnout's going to be everything, and I think North Alabama probably has more at stake with the Congressional District 5 and the two of the top three major candidates for U.S. Senate both being from North Alabama. I think there's a lot at stake on the ballot that North Alabama relates to more so than the rest of the state.
Yeah, no doubt. That's why I was kind of surprised turnout was light. I think even in Madison County that, you know, they're experiencing slow turnout, which is just disappointing. I mean, I don't know if it's negative ads or if it's the weather and people are going to vote after work, but if you're listening, certainly get out and make sure you vote today. So it's important.
Absolutely. Constitutional right. Go exercise it. So let me ask you this. Statewide races right now, your perspective. I mean, you have a statewide view. I recognize you live in Northeast Alabama, but you are the lieutenant governor for the whole state. What are you seeing? Is there voter apathy statewide? My sense has been that people are kind of jazzed, but what's your perception of the statewide desire to exercise the right to vote?
So I'll tell you what's been interesting to me. This particular cycle, I've had more people, even on election day and day before and all this week, ask me who to vote for, ask about different candidates. They just don't know, which is shocking to me with the amount of money that's been spent. I've stayed out of most races. I did support, Governor Ivey and, endorse her campaign, but I've stayed out. So a lot of people just, didn't know, and I just gave them information about them and let them make their own decisions. But it's been surprising to me how many people literally do not know who's running for office, do not know, anything about them. And so, tried to give them some information where they could make an educated decision. I think the governor's race is going to be close. I think, we were kind of texting back and forth. I think Governor Ivey is going to win without a runoff, but who knows? I mean, with low turnout, I don't know what that does. And, it's going to be interesting to see, what happens there. And then the Senate race, that'll probably set a record for the most amount of money ever spent in a race in our state.
Yeah.
And a lot of it's negative, unfortunately. And so, I don't know if that turns people off to whether or not they're not wanting to vote. But, I think on that race, it looks like, it's going to be a toss-up between Katie and Mo. On, I could see, Katie leading by 4 or 5. I could see Mo. It seems like he's got a surge coming up, being there, and maybe leading by a point or two. It does seem like Durant's kind of falling, I've seen, and he might be 10, 15 points behind. But again, we'll just kind of see what the voters decide.
I don't know if you saw it or not, but 1819 News reported today, a follow-up from WHNT 19 out of Huntsville, that Durant said yesterday that if he winds up being number 3, he's going to throw his support behind Mo Brooks. Did you see that?
I have not seen that. So what did he say now?
If he winds up being number 3, he believes it'll be all because of the way the Britt campaign, in his words, used negative ads against him. And so he would not at all support Britt. He'd be throwing his full weight behind Mo Brooks at that point if he's number 3.
Yeah, interesting that he's already saying that. It lets you know that he's probably realizes he's beat.
I think it also shows.
When I was running a race, wouldn't be talking about who I was going to endorse in the runoff if I thought, but yeah, certainly negative ads. I can tell you when I got attacked in my race, not only was I frustrated, but boy, my mom, my wife, it impacts you. So I understand that. And my mom was furious. I mean, like when stuff comes out, and you've been attacked.
Oh yeah.
And a lot of times this stuff's not true. And so, or it's, like they take a little piece and they twist it. And so I could understand why people would get upset from attack ads.
Well, so listen, you've endorsed Kay Ivey. I did see something kind of interesting. You and I were texting this morning, like you said, and I'm predicting a runoff. You're saying you think she might eke it out. The interesting thing is AL.com reported yesterday, I did not know this, that if we wind up with a runoff at the governor's race, and we're certainly going to have a runoff in the U.S. Senate race, it'll be the first time that both have had a runoff on the ballot since the early 70s or mid-70s.
Yeah. And I really think that Kay will be, Governor Ivey will be 51, 52, 53. But, we'll see. But, yeah, it's, and I think it just has to do with the amount of money spent. I think, look at even the governor's race. I think Blanchard spent $10 million. James spent 4 or 5. I don't think there's ever been that type of money spent in a governor's race. And so, you could take anybody and run, enough ads to, certainly impact the race to where people might not want to vote for him, or you got voter apathy, which I think part of what's going on with the low turnout. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. From my standpoint, I certainly supported Governor Ivey. She's been great to work with for me on the issues that are important. She's a strong conservative. But, at the same token, Tim James, I've known him a long time, and, I haven't said anything negative about any of the candidates. It's just I believe in Governor Ivey and enjoy working with her and like to work with her 4 more years.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see, because I also don't know that I can recall a incumbent governor drawing this big of a primary, which has been this heated. You always see, somebody run, put their name on the ballot, but they don't ever amount to much. But then, but to see this level of activity in a primary against a sitting governor who has another potential term ahead of her, I don't know that I've ever seen that.
Yeah, no, and I think a lot of them look back at the race before with, Tommy Battle and Scott Dawson, and realize that if you just run a positive campaign, you're probably not going to get very far. And so I think just from a strategic standpoint, looking at, if you're going to go against an incumbent, you have to give people a reason to fire. And I just don't think – I think when you look at how good the economy's doing in Alabama, a lot of the successes we're having, Huntsville is just listed number one city in the U.S. That's a big deal. Space Command's coming to Alabama. There's a lot of positives going on here. Hasn't been any controversy, scandals. I talk to people, they are pretty happy with the way things are going. Could things be better? Absolutely. Are there things we need to improve on? No doubt. But I think all in all, people are pretty content with what's going on, and we'll reelect it. But we'll see. It's going to be interesting to see, and that's why we have elections.
Yeah, we will see. I try to make sure my show stays upbeat, but boy, I got my gripes.
That's fair. We need to have that. I think it, keeps people pushing, and, I think you and I had a lot of fun fights when I was in the House and you were in the Senate pushing back on some things and trying to get some things done. So I think certainly speaking truth and making sure people hold to conservative values is something, I respect you for and glad you're showed and glad that you're doing it. It's a good thing.
Well, my friend, thank you so much for being on. We are up against that break, and I appreciate you making the time for us this afternoon. We'll start counting votes tonight and see whether you and I can compare texts in the morning and see how we did.
Yeah, we'll see how it is. I'll be down in Montgomery tonight, so watching the results come in.
All right, man. You have a great day.
Hey, thank you.
All right, folks. Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth ran a little bit long, so we'll take a short break, come right back, and wrap up this half hour. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, voting day. Make your plans if you haven't already done it. Get out there. Vote. Constitutional right. We'll be right back.